This episode was originally recorded in early 2020.
Small events have taken the industry by storm.
Part of the process is talking about how much you appreciate referrals.
It's a fantastic way to not only increase your value proposition, but also generate referrals.
Welcome to the Brighthouse Financial Insights Panel Podcast. In these monthly conversations, leading experts share actionable tips and strategies to help financial professionals like you build strong businesses and lasting relationships with clients.
Hello, I'm your host, Stephen Boswell, president of the Oxley Institute, a provider of marketing solutions for financial professionals. We've reached the final topic in our four-part Next Level Prospecting series, Optimizing Your Referral Strategy. Today's podcast is all about getting more organic recommendations from clients to help fuel your business growth. Our panel of experts will share processes and strategies to help develop a referral pipeline, as well as talk about some unique ways to ensure your clients can easily explain your value to their friends and family.
Joining me today is behavioral finance expert Preet Banerjee, consultant to the wealth management industry, and prospecting expert Mary Beth Kuzmeski, the founder of Red Zone Marketing.
Preet, let's start with you. What's the key ingredient to getting more referrals as a financial professional?
Well, you got to be referable. That's what it really comes down to. And we can take a page out of the playbook of a lot of Fortune 500 companies out there that use something that is tested and true, and that is the Net Promoter Score. And a lot of people have actually taken a Net Promoter Score survey, maybe without even realizing that they have, but it's that question that you get asked on websites all the time that says, on a scale of 0 to 10, how likely are you to refer our company to a friend? That is the Net Promoter Score survey. If someone gives you a 9 or a 10, they are what's called a promoter. And someone who gives you a score of 0 to 6 is a detractor, and a score of 7 to 8 is a passive. And so first off, if you identify people who select 9 or 10, these are the first people you should be asking for referrals because they've just told you that they are very likely to refer your services. So having that systematized process where you ask that question on a regular basis, once a year, after a client review meeting, can be a great way to gauge how referable you are. And not only that, for the people who don't give you a 9 or 10, ask them, what could you be doing differently to get you to that score?
I think it's worth analyzing why people refer in general. We tend to make referrals because it makes us feel good and because we like the other person. So how do we increase their desire to refer us? Our research shows that clients are more willing to introduce us if our relationship goes beyond business. So 71% of clients would introduce their financial professional to a friend if their relationship was more than just business. There were some social aspects, compared to 38% who would introduce if the relationship was business only. So the desire matters. Mary Beth, so much of what we talk about when it comes to getting more referrals is tried and true. It's been around a while, but that doesn't mean we're executing consistently. How do you put a process around referrals?
One of the things that we find is that if you have a conversation about referrals on a regular basis with your clients, they will understand how much you appreciate it. So let's say that they think you are a great financial professional. However, they're not necessarily thinking about referring you to other people all the time. In fact, maybe they're never thinking about it. So the idea is you have to address those things. That's part of the process, talking about how much you appreciate referrals. And having those conversations is actually part of the process.
So letting clients know that you're open for business is a great way to reinforce to them that, hey, I would like to meet some of your friends and family, without having to go over the top and really badger them for referrals. I'm curious with you, Preet, is the right way just to ask? If so, what language would you recommend?
I think asking is important. I think you have to do that as part of your referrals strategy. And there are better ways to ask than just asking, hey, do you know anyone who might be able to use the services of a financial professional? You have to give them something that they can offer, some content that they can use to give to someone to show them, here's proof that this person is worth talking to, whether it's a checklist, infograph, an e-booklet, or a video series that you've put together. You can say, here is proof of what I'm doing. So that way, they can judge your content and not the person making the referral. Because that's what a lot of people who are asked for referrals are worried about, that they're being judged.
One of the strategies we often teach is sourcing names or uncovering connections. So if Mary Beth, if you were coming into the office, I might think, What kind of conversations might I have with you to uncover people you're spending time with? Because there's a good chance that every new client that I bring in is one degree removed from an existing client. They're going to be referred. They're going to come from some form of word of mouth. How do I speed that process along by first identifying some of those people in your spheres? I can look in your social accounts and find out with whom you're connected. But also in conversation, I can dig through that just by asking questions about what have you been up to and who have you been doing those things with.
We have one financial professional that has a client who is an executive at a big company. And so he thought, boy, this is going to be great. I'm going to be able to get a lot of other executives at that company because this guy is really well positioned in his company. But he didn't know kind of how to phrase it. One of the things that he decided to do was to talk about, do you know other executives who may be getting closer to retirement? And he said, well, yeah, actually, I do know some. And what they ended up doing was hosting a seminar on how to retire from that company without making big mistakes. And the only people that were invited were the people that that executive knew and said, hey, you should probably come to this seminar. And so it wasn't just having the conversation, hey, do you know any other executives? It's making it very specific and then giving them something to do with that.
I wanted to add on that because I think it's brilliant. When you identify a situation that someone is going through in their company, say maybe their company is merging with another and the pension plans are going to merge, there's something that they have questions about. So you may have helped them navigate that process. You can then reach out and say, hey, listen, I'd be happy to give a lunch and learn seminar at your company because everyone else is going to have these questions as well. But one of the things that HR professionals are wary of is vetting the people who come to speak to the employees. So what you could do is say, before you commit to that, I'd be happy to come in and talk to, you know, just the HR team and some executives, show you what the seminar is going to be all about. And they may say, wow, this guy really knows what they're talking about. I want to use them. And oh, yeah, by the way, you can, of course, do that lunch and learn seminars.
It seems like small events like the ones you're describing have taken the industry by storm. It seems like 15 years ago, it was all about the big event. If you were going to do an event for your clients, it would be a big gala. You'd have a couple hundred people there. You'd do it once a year. It was exhausting, and it didn't lend itself to very good prospecting, nor did it help you in deepening relationships with clients. Have you seen any events that have been effective in getting both clients and their guests to attend?
One of our financial professionals had an event at a Tesla showroom, and they said to their people that they knew, hey, do you want to come to this event at the Tesla showroom? We can drive a Tesla, we can get in it, we can see what it's all about. It was easy to invite their friends, where some of the other events, it's not really easy to invite them, and so they don't do it.
Client events like this are a prime example of an activity that everybody has seen be effective for some advisors, but it's not effective for everyone. And it's often the finer points that make the difference between a successful event and one that is not so successful. I remember working with an advisor 10 years ago, and she was somewhat of an early adopter of these style of events. And she ran one event and then a second, and neither were very successful. She couldn't get people to come. Nobody would bring a guest. But she said, I know people are making this work. I'm going to stick to it. And to this day, now 10 years later, she's done one per month. And she says, not only have I grown my business significantly in this 10-year stretch, I now have clients giving me a hug and telling me they love me. It's a dynamically different relationship than it once was. But you can imagine over the course of a decade of doing events once per month, you get a lot better at planning the events, getting the right guests to attend, and learning how to follow up. So Mary Beth, it is very hard to have an event that works for prospecting if you don't have any guests there. How do you make sure you get the right people in attendance?
Well, we have seen financial professionals do this very well, and we've seen financial professionals do it not so well. And the key difference is making phone calls or having personal conversations with your clients and telling them about what is going to happen at this particular event and why this is a great opportunity to bring someone. When you just put it in the invitation, if it's a good event, they'll come. But going out of their way to ask someone else really requires a personal interaction with the financial professional or someone in the office.
So when we're thinking about getting more guests at our event, we're only talking about having 10 or 15 people there in total. So it's a high-stakes game. If half the people blow you off and don't show up, it's a real miss. So we have to put some attention towards that invitation. And I think even going so far as recommending specific people they might want to bring with them. So Mary Beth, I know you talk a lot about Preet, one of your business partners. Would love to have the chance to meet him at some point. Do you think he'd want to come to this wine tasting? So client events, obviously one thing that most people should do more of. What about other strategies, Preet? What else have you seen as a unique way to get more referrals?
A very unique strategy that I've seen used is to pay more attention to the estate planning. Not only can you increase your value proposition by paying a lot more attention to it, you can use this uniquely to generate referrals, and here's how you would do it. So you talk to your client and you say, listen, we really need to get your estate plan in order. We need to list out your documents, all your accounts, and all the people who need to be contacted when you die. And then you will ask for permission about the executor. May I reach out to the executor and introduce myself? You can create a package. You can say, listen, Jane has told me that you are the executor on her estate, and when she dies, I want you to know that I will be the person that will help you with managing the estate. And so I wanted to introduce myself now as opposed to after the fact, so that wouldn't be the first time. You send the package, and the first thing that they're going to think of is, I need this, right? And they're going to be much more likely to reach out to you to say, can you set this up for my estate? It's a fantastic way to not only increase your value proposition, but also generate referrals.
Well, it's interesting. I had a financial professional once who said, I always ask my clients, which of your kids can I help? And he said, what I was really after is the executor. And that shifted the mindset. It not only helped the client in planning for some of these things, but made for very natural introductions. Mary Beth, what have you seen as far as unique referral strategies?
I have a very simple one, actually. One of the financial professionals we work with was having trouble asking for referrals. She just couldn't do it. She was committed to doing it, but she just couldn't do it. And so we decided to take a different tact. We found out that most of her clients would ask her the question, how's business? So instead of saying, business is good, it's all good, I said, what if you gave an honest answer to that? What if you said, you know what? It's been really good lately. Last week, I had a referral from one of our earliest clients. This person is really excited to do business with us. We can really help them. It's one of the reasons that I love being in this business, because there's always someone else to help. And so she's having a conversation about how her business is, but that conversation leads directly into, oh, she actually appreciates referrals. Maybe I can give her a referral. Maybe I should be thinking about that. And it has worked. It's backing into it, but it works for her. And she has actually increased her referrals by 30% by doing that.
Yeah, I think oftentimes as financial professionals, we think everybody knows we're in the market for new clients. Why wouldn't they give me my favorite thing, which is a new referral? But sometimes they don't know that. Only by dripping that information on them over time do we make them aware that we value that so much. Thanks again so much to Preet and Mary Beth for their insights. Join us again soon for more strategies and tips from our experts. Stay ahead of the curve with the Insights panel from Brighthouse Financial. This information is brought to you courtesy of Brighthouse Financial Incorporated, which provides, through its affiliates, annuities and life insurance products issued by Brighthouse Life Insurance Company, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28277, and in New York only by Brighthouse Life Insurance Company of New York, New York, 10017. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers, and the information presented is for educational purposes only. Speakers were compensated for their participation as subject matter experts, for professional use only, not for public distribution. In these podcasts, the terms advisor and financial advisor are used as general references to licensed insurance professionals and are not intended to indicate whether the licensed insurance professional is a registered investment advisor or is otherwise authorized under the law to provide financial advice. Brighthouse Financial Incorporated is not affiliated with nor endorses any businesses or organizations that appear in this material. Research cited within this podcast includes the Oxley Institute Affluent Investor Research, January 2020.